Luke 2, 8 to 20. Let us hear God's word. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. This is God's word. Let us once again pray. Oh, our God and our Father, as we come now to a time of hearing from your word, we do ask that you would speak to us. That, Lord, you would give us ears to hear what you would have to say to us. That you'd open our hearts and our minds to receive the word of truth. Lord, may we all pay attention. May we all listen to your voice. And Father, I pray that those of us who are believers this morning, that we'd be strengthened and encouraged. But for those this morning who are still far from you, we do ask that you have mercy upon them, that they would indeed this morning come to know the message of great joy. Lord, please be with me as I preach. May I know the liberty of the Spirit, and may I be faithful to proclaim your word. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, each year when Christmas rolls around, it seems that our society becomes a little bit more sentimental. People like to pretend that it's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you to be of good cheer. But come January, that's all forgotten. Come January, the Christmas decorations are packed away, the good cheer is put in storage, and we continue on our merry way until next December, unless you work in retail, then next September when it all comes out again. However, at Christmas, even for a short period, it seems that people the world over are in the mood for good news, and people start to consider the birth of Jesus Christ. Even in our extremely secular society, there is a longing amongst people to rediscover the original meaning of Christmas. The problem is that message is often lost. And we can see it is lost when you watch many of the popular Christmas movies. At this time of year, there's Christmas movies everywhere. If you have streaming services, everything is about Christmas at this time. However, if you watch many of these movies, you'll see that often all of them have a similar plot line. The movies will tell you that there's a situation has occurred and there's a need for a miracle. Something has gone wrong somewhere and a miracle is now needed. Now, of course, that miracle will occur on Christmas Eve as the snow gently falls, and then in response to that miracle, all the community will just randomly come together and sing a Christmas carol as one. All the movies seem to present that picture. Next time you watch a Christmas movie, watch it. It always snows on Christmas Eve, the miracle always happens, and the people get together to sing. But these movies present an image that many of us can relate to. We know that we live in a broken world. We know we live in a society where things aren't as they should be. We know that there's no hope and everything is falling apart. So the hope is that at Christmas, things will change. But of course, this is a sentimental view of Christmas, and it doesn't get to the core of the issue. It doesn't get to the heart of the problem, but it does show that there's a longing within humanity. See, what we need to realise is that there is indeed a Christmas miracle, but it isn't what Hollywood presents. As Christians who gather in church this morning, we know that the Christmas miracle all centres around the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, all of us should be fairly familiar with that account, that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. But this morning, what I want us to do as we work through this well-known passage of Scripture is for us to view Christmas through the eyes of the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. I want us to put ourselves in the sandals of the shepherds and try and view what they did and how they responded on this first Christmas. And by looking at the shepherds and what they do, we can see how we are meant to respond to the message of Christmas. So look again at your Bibles and look at verse 8 to 14, and we'll see that the shepherds begin by hearing the word. They hear the word. Now, as we look at our text, we see that on this first nativity, we have shepherds. They're out in their field and they're keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, that's nothing special for them. For us, we sing about it in our carols because we think it's a special event. But for the shepherds that lived at that time, this was not uncommon. Today, if you're a shepherd, oftentimes your sheep is in a field somewhere, it's fenced off, and you don't spend the night with them. But back then, shepherds lived in the fields with their sheep. When I lived in regional New South Wales, the community I lived in was known for its sheep. In fact, the community was so well known for its sheep, it had a giant concrete ram erected next to the highway called Rambo, and it became a tourist attraction. It was known for its sheep. But something you notice in that community is that the shepherds did not live in the fields. They weren't like the shepherds described here in Luke chapter 2. Rather, their sheep would be in the field and they would fence off the area and they may visit their sheep every few weeks or perhaps every few days if there was a need. And as a result of that, thieves would come in and they would steal the sheep and the police had to create a rustling unit in the area to stop sheep theft. But that kind of theft and that kind of problem could not have existed in the time described here in Luke chapter 2. The shepherds we have here in Luke chapter 2 lived in the field. They kept watch over their flock by night. At night time, they would make a makeshift pen. They would herd their sheep into it. And this pen would have one entry and one exit. And in that entry, you would find the shepherd sleeping. He would sit there all night long, just asleep, waiting, listening, ready to pounce if anyone comes to harm his sheep. As you can probably imagine, if that's the kind of job you have as a shepherd, it wasn't your 9-to-5 job. You did not really get to go home and have downtime. Rather, you were in the field night and day looking after your sheep. The climate around Bethlehem was so mild that shepherds could actually be in the field all year round. But what is interesting is that the sheep in the field around Bethlehem weren't the average sheep that you would expect to see in market when you wanted to get some lamb chops. These weren't the sort of sheep you could go and buy at the market when you wanted a barbecue. Rather, these sheep were special. The sheep around Bethlehem were set aside with a specific purpose in mind. The Jewish law said that the sheep that these shepherds were looking after were to be used in the temple as a sin sacrifice. So these shepherds are watching the sheep that would be used as a sacrifice for sin. When on this very night described in Luke chapter 2, we have the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world being born. Now for the shepherds, the religious aspect of their work, the sheep that they watched, wasn't that big of a deal. These men were not religious men. I know when we get our Christmas cards, you have the shepherds, they often have like a halo. They look all holy and sanctified, but that wasn't a picture of the shepherds then. The shepherds back then were not religious. They didn't have time to go and worship. They didn't participate in the sacrifices. They were rough and ready. They were looked down upon by society. The Jewish law declared them ceremonially unclean. And later on, Jewish custom says you cannot trust a shepherd. So if he goes to court, his testimony is worth nothing. The shepherds were known as thieves. They were known as rough men. They would go throughout the countryside pillaging whatever they could find. They were also very mixed in age, from very young to very old. They were a rough crew. Yet it was to this non-religious rough crew that God chose to announce the birth of the Saviour. It was to these shepherds in the field who didn't think about God, whom God sent an angel to announce the word of the birth of the Christ. And the shepherds heard the word. In verse 9 it says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." Now this is a dramatic interruption to the life of the shepherd. One minute they're watching their sheep, next minute an angel is standing before them, and rightly so, they're afraid. I think all of us would be. If one minute we're doing our job and next minute an angel rocks up and stands directly in front of you, you're not going to look up and go, "Pleased to meet you." In fact, whenever you look at Scripture, you often see that an angel appears and the first thing the angel says is, "Fear not." It's a terrifying thing to encounter an angel. So these rough shepherds see an angel and the angel says, "Fear not. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is for all people." The angel isn't bringing a message of fear. He isn't bringing a message of judgment. He comes to these non-religious men and he says, "I am bringing you a message of joy." Now, straight away, if we're looking at the birth of Jesus, we should realize that the birth of Christ is a joyous event. It is good news. The message proclaimed by the angel to these shepherds, in a nutshell, is the gospel. He is proclaiming good news to them. A message of joy that is for all people. It is a message of joy and good news, not just for the religious people, but it's also for the working class man, the rough man, the non-religious person. The angel said, "This is good news for all people." It's good news not just for those in Bethlehem, not just for those in Israel, but rather it is good news for all peoples everywhere. And the shepherds hear this. They're living in the fields and they hear this message from the angel saying, "I have good news for you and indeed for all peoples." And we know that this is good news for all peoples because here we are in 2020 remembering it. None of us are from Bethlehem. None of us lived at that time. But the good news comes to us as well. The good news still spreads to all peoples everywhere. For what is the good news that the angel declares? Well, notice what our text says. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." The Saviour, the Rescuer, the Messiah had come. Throughout the Old Testament, there was all this prophecy, all these promises that the Rescuer would come. And many people in Israel were looking forward to the coming of Messiah. The angel comes along and says, "Guess what? He is now here. The promise of the ages has been fulfilled." The message given to the shepherds and the message the people all over the world need to hear is this: the Messiah, the Rescuer, the Saviour has come. That's good news for you and I because we are a people in need of salvation. We are a people in need of rescue. When you get into strife, you need a rescuer to come along. And the Bible says all of us are in strife because we've all sinned against God. We all did that which is wrong. Our sin says judgment, but our rescuer, Jesus, comes. He steps into the world and good news comes to us and says the Saviour has been born. So the angel says to the shepherd, there is good news, a message of great joy. The Saviour, the Christ, the Messiah has been born. But what are the shepherds supposed to do with that information? It's not a case here of the angel merely making the announcement saying, "All right, shepherds, here's some facts about Jesus, now get back to your business." It's not that sort of announcement. It's not a public service announcement. Rather, this message from the angel to the shepherds has inbuilt in it the expectation that they will act upon the news. Notice verse 12. and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. See, if the angel just said, hey, good news, the baby's been born, see you later, there'd be no need for the information about how to find Christ. But the mere fact the angel says to the shepherds in the field, and this is the sign, this is what you are to look for. The expectation is that the shepherds will leave the field, they will rush down to Bethlehem, and they will find Messiah. The angel is saying, you need to respond to this message of good news. You need to respond to this message of great joy. You need to go and find Jesus. You need to seek the Lord. The angel tells the shepherds to respond, and there's no room for indifference. You cannot be neutral towards Jesus Christ. You cannot hear the message of great joy, of good news to all peoples, and sit idly by. There is an expectation of response. Christ has been born, the Savior has been given. How will you respond? And Luke tells us that at this moment, with the angel, he is joined by a multitude of heavenly hosts. The sky is filled with other angels, all declaring the glory of God. Now, what's interesting, when the Bible uses the word host here, it's actually a military term. Luke is telling us the armies of heaven appeared in the skies over Bethlehem. But they didn't come with a message of war. They didn't come with a message of judgment. Rather, they came with a message of peace. Listen to what the warriors of God say. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So the message for these shepherds, these non-religious men, these men that have no time for God, is not one of, you are about to be destroyed. No, rather the angels show up and say, there's a message of grace, there's a message of kindness, there's a message of peace, there's a message of joy. Glory to God in the highest. You see, with the coming of Jesus, peace is proclaimed towards humanity. Now this tells us naturally that we don't have peace. For me to make peace with someone says that something has caused division between us. But God comes along and he speaks through the angel and said, by the birth of Jesus, peace is coming. Why do we need peace? Because we are hostile towards God. All of us have turned our back on God. We choose to do our own thing. God made us. He gives us life. Even now, he is giving breath to you. He is giving you life. But so often we are indifferent to him. We ignore him. We don't consider him. We turn our back on God and we shake our fist at him, declaring war. We have declared war upon God, but the angel says here in our passage that God has sent a peace mission to this earth. A peace mission that will bring joy. You see, the message of Christmas is that God has declared peace towards sinful humanity. And this peace only comes through Jesus Christ. There is no peace, the Bible says, for the wicked. If you are outside of Christ, there is no peace. You still have war between you and your Creator. But with the coming of Jesus, when we come and worship Him, when we come to know Him, we can experience peace. So God says through the angel, there's peace being given to the world. And this is what is told to the shepherds. These shepherds whom society had said, God wants nothing to do with you, God comes along to them and says, actually, I have a message of good news for you. Peace has come. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, has been born. But how do the shepherds respond to this message? Well, if you look at verse 15 and 16, we see they respond by heading to Christ. They respond by heading to Jesus. You see, the message of Christmas, that is the message of the gospel, demands a response from us. We cannot sit idly by. We cannot be indifferent. It was true for the shepherds and it's true for us. The Lord Jesus would teach later in his ministry that you're either for him or against him. It's all for Jesus or none for Jesus. There's no middle ground. There's no neutrality. There's no indifference. And the shepherds hear the message. And the message that they have been given demands a response. Now, the message of Jesus for the shepherds and the message of Jesus for us gives us only two possible responses. There's only two possible ways that we can respond to the message that the Saviour has been given. The first response is a response of belief. A response of belief that says, I'm going to come to Jesus in repentance and faith. It's a response that says, I will turn from my sin and I will turn to Jesus Christ and I will trust in him. I will believe in him. That's the first response. It's the response that says, come and worship. And you say, I'm going to go worship Jesus. I want Jesus. And that's how the shepherds responded. But the second response is a response of unbelief. The response of unbelief that says, you know what? Yes, I've heard the message. Yes, I've heard the news that the Savior has been given. I've heard the news of great joy that is for all people. I hear all of that. But it's not for me. Now, some people would say, well, I'm not going to follow after Jesus because they just go, I don't believe what Jesus said is true. Other people say, well, I'm not going to follow after Jesus because that means I'll have to give up my favourite sin. I love my sin more than I love the Saviour, so they won't let go of it. Other people actually say, I won't respond to Jesus because I've just done too many bad things. And there's no way Christ could forgive me. If your response is one of unbelief, first and foremost, it says, I don't believe it, my encouragement to you is this. Sit down, read the Gospels yourself, and try and find all the errors. There was a point when I didn't believe, and I decided to sit down and try and disprove the Bible. Well, what happened was this, the Bible disproved me. And I had to admit the Bible is true. If your second response is one of, well, just a sin I don't want to let go of, then let me ask you this question. Is that sin you're holding on to? That sin you enjoy, that temporary pleasures of sin for a season, is that joy and pleasure you get from that sin greater than the joy that comes through knowing Christ? Is it worth holding on to that sin and spending eternity in hell? Or would it be far better to let it go and come to Jesus and find life in him alone? Preacher friend of mine described the person who rather hold on to sin more than coming to Jesus like a little boy who held a stick of dynamite in his hand. He said the little boy had a lit stick of dynamite in his hand. He loved the flicker of the flame. It was fun. It was joyous. The flicker was pretty. But what the little boy didn't realize is that eventually that flame will hit the dynamite and it'll be over in a bang. And that is what our sin is like. We hold on to it saying, I love my sin. I enjoy the pleasure of sin. But eventually that sin will be our ruination. The soul that sins, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Some people say, I don't believe because I don't want to give up my sin. Why hold on to that which damns when Christ says, I give life? Another response is the one that says, I've just done too many bad things. And there's no way that Christ could forgive me. If that's your thought this morning, and that's actually quite a common thought amongst people, let me tell you a story about a man who at one point in his life was a very religious man, but he didn't like Christians. He was one of those religious men that said, I hate Christians and Christianity. I hate the church. His desire was to wipe out the church. In fact, he devoted his life to killing Christians. You have to say that's pretty bad. Killing Christians, killing the people that follow Jesus. How could Jesus forgive him? But this man said, I hated Christians, I killed Christians, I wanted Christians wiped out. But then I encountered Jesus. And Jesus rescued me. Later on, that man would describe himself as being the chief of sinners. We would call him the Apostle Paul, or St. Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament. If Jesus can forgive a man who tried to wipe out the church, then he certainly can forgive you. There's no sin that you've committed that's too great for the Savior to forgive. Because Jesus Christ, when he died, the Bible says, is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So how do you respond to Jesus? Do you respond like the shepherds in belief and repentance? Or do you reject? You see, the angel says when he gives his message that there's an expectation here, that the message of Christ demands a response. Well, the shepherds responded in belief. They didn't wait around debating the point. They didn't discuss the point of what they just saw. In verse 15 it says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. They encountered the message. And these shepherds, who were not religious men, said, right, we're going to Bethlehem. We are going to go and find the child. We are going to find the Messiah. So with haste, they left the fields and they rushed down to Bethlehem. They made haste from the field to go and find the Messiah. Now this means they would have had to leave their sheep behind. I don't know if you've ever seen sheep being herded. You can't use the word haste to describe it. When I was in Romania, I saw some shepherds in the fields, and they shepherd very much like the first century way. And I watched these men move their sheep from one field to another. Paint would have dried quicker. It was slow. But the text here says the shepherds made haste, which means they would have left their sheep behind. They would have left the sheep in the field. They would have said there's more important things to worry about right now. Instead of these sheep that are going to be used in the temple as a sacrifice, no, we're going to flee to Bethlehem. We're going to find the Savior who is the ultimate sacrifice for sin. So the shepherds rushed to Bethlehem, and we can learn much from these shepherds. We should look at their response and we should imitate them. We should hear the message of Christ, the good news of salvation, that Christ has come into the world to save sinners, the good news that the Savior has been born to rescue us. We should hear the good news that Christ has come to rescue his people from their sins, and we should make haste to come to him in repentance and faith. We should hear the good news and say, right, I want Jesus, I'm going to Jesus, and Jesus alone, and nothing's going to stop me. We must make haste to Christ. And this morning, let me ask you, have you made haste to Jesus? Have you personally repented of your sins and trusted in Christ? Have you responded to the good news of Jesus? If not, then this morning, make haste to Christ. Flee to him. I mean, think about it for just a moment. Think about our need to respond. At Christmas, we sing carols such as Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Next time you sing that carol and you come to the line that says, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, ask yourself this question: have I been reconciled to God? When you keep singing the carol and you come to the line that says, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give the second birth, stop and ask yourself, have I been born spiritually? Have I had this second birth? Have I passed from spiritual death to spiritual life because of Jesus? And if the answer is no, then make haste to Christ. Flee to him like the shepherds. Go to Jesus. So the shepherds make haste. They rush to Bethlehem and they find Jesus. They see him. They encounter him. And their lives are changed. Look at what they did after they met Christ in verse 17 to 20. After they meet Jesus, these shepherds heralded the gospel. You see, when a person encounters Jesus Christ, everything is different. The old is gone, the new has come. And we see here in verse 17 that these shepherds, when they met Jesus, were transformed. Look at what it says. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Think about it. Shortly before this, they were non-religious men in the field. They didn't care less about God. They were too busy making a living. They had to get the sheep ready for temple. They wouldn't go to temple. But then they meet Jesus, and they begin to tell everyone what they have discovered. Even though they were outcasts, even though they weren't looked well upon by society, they could not help but make widely known the message of Jesus. They copy the angel and they begin to proclaim the message of great joy that is for all people. They've experienced joy, so they tell everyone else, let me tell you about the Savior who has been born. You see, the message of the coming of Christ, the message of Jesus coming to rescue sinners, is not just a message we should preach and proclaim in December. Rather, it is a message we should be telling people all year long, because it's good news for all peoples. The shepherds go and they tell everyone. They have to talk of Jesus. They have to speak of Christ. And this message of great joy that the shepherds share with everyone is a message we need in our society today. We still need the Savior. We still need Christ. And sadly, there are people in our community who don't know him. And they don't know of him. I spoke to three young men just a couple of weeks ago in the high street of Newquay. Two of these young men went to Christian school. None of them had any idea as to why Jesus had to come to the world. Young men in our society who are devoid of the knowledge that the Savior has come. So what we need to do as people who have come to Jesus is to respond like the shepherds. We hear the good news. We come to Jesus. We trust in him. And then we go and make widely known the message of Christ. The shepherds couldn't help but speak of Jesus, and shouldn't we be the same? This role of proclaiming Christ is not something that's reserved for pastors or elders or deacons, evangelists or missionaries. It's not reserved for church members. Rather, it is a job for all people who know and love Jesus. Have you encountered Christ this morning? If the answer is yes, I know Christ, then go and make widely known his message. Don't think you're too old, unequipped, or not adequate for the task. They're just excuses. These shepherds would have been old men and uneducated men. There were those who were not respected in the community. Yet what did they do? They made widely known the message of Jesus. Why? Because when you meet Jesus, you want to tell everyone about him. You tell everyone about him. When you're captured by the beauty and the wonder of Christ, when you're amazed that he would love you, the unlovely, when you get captured by the thought that he would rescue you, you have to tell people. Christ rescued me, so I want everyone to know him. I don't want you to come to Christ just to get out of hell or to avoid the judgment. I want you to come to know the Christ that is altogether lovely. The Christ who is wonderful and kind. The Christ who came to this world to save sinners. You see, these shepherds heard that message. These hardened men. And they were gripped by it. They ran to Jesus and they were forgiven of all their sins. And they went and told everyone. He who is forgiven much loves much. And when we encounter Jesus, we should want everyone to know him. Not because we are somehow better, we're not. A person described a Christian telling others of Jesus as one beggar who's found bread telling another beggar where he can go and eat. And that's all we are. There's nothing of merit in us that makes us savable. It's Jesus who rescued us. to go and tell others about him. As we finish this morning, think again about the message of Christmas. Think about the message that Jesus has come to this world. He left the glories of heaven to come amongst us, to dwell with us, to be God with us. He came to bring peace, even though our sin said death and judgment. He came to die on the cross for sinners, even though our sin said we should die and be judged. He was buried in the tomb. He was cut off because of our sin. But then he rose again from the dead 3 days later, and now he stands victorious and says, young person, older person, it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from or what your background is, come and worship. Come to the Christ. Flee to him. Make haste to Jesus. Turn from your sins and trust in him. Christmas is not just about a babe in a manger. Christmas is about God showing great love to us. And our response to this is to say, I want Jesus. I want to know him. I want him and him alone because he is so kind. So today, have you responded to the message of Christ? How have you responded? Belief or unbelief, there's no in between. How do you respond this morning? I don't know your heart. I know nothing about what you have deep within you. But what I do know is this. There is no sin that you've committed that's too great for Christ to forgive. I do know that Christ can rescue all those who come to him. And all who come to him he will nowise cast out. I do know that Christ is a message of great joy and good news for all people. And I do know if you come to him, you'll never be disappointed. Come and worship. Come, make haste, because Christ, the Saviour, has been born. Let's pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we do thank you for the reminder of Scripture this morning, that the Saviour has been given for us. Lord, may we be reminded this day that Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. Father, may we see the kindness of our Saviour and may we flee to him. May we see the love of Christ and may we run to him. May we make haste to come to Jesus this morning. Lord, search the hearts of all people here today. For those who are truly yours, may you give them such a great joy of knowing sins forgiven. May they go and publish widely what Christ has done. But Lord, for those that don't know you, this day would you give them no rest and no peace until they bow their knee and say, I'm going to worship Christ. Oh Lord Jesus, please show yourself as mighty. Please rescue many people. And may we all say, glory to God in the highest, because you have saved us, a people that did not deserve salvation. May we glorify you for your great love and mercy, and may we bring praise to the name of King Jesus. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.